ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। श्रीरामकृष्ण वाज ट्रैवलिंग इन ए शिप अरेंज्ड बाय केशव चंद्र सेन एंड व्हेन द बोट केम श्रीरामकृष्ण वाज टॉकिंग विथ Vijay Krishna Goswami, and some time back to this day, Vijay Krishna Goswami had resigned from the Brahmo Samaj and came out. Ever since that time, there was a kind of dislike for each other, we can say, but they were great souls, both of them. And now, when the boat came with Brahmos to invite Ramakrishna, they could not ignore Vijay Krishna Goswami. So, along with Sri Ramakrishna, he also came. Not only because of their invitation, but more importantly, Vijay Krishna Goswami, both Vijay Krishna Goswami and Keshav Chandra Sen, understood Sri Ramakrishna much, much better than many, many other people understood. So, naturally, Vijay Krishna Goswami wouldn't like to be disassociated from Sri Ramakrishna, so he also went. But then it was embarrassing situation. I do not know why it should be embarrassing. Okay, we don't like each other's ideas, but that doesn't mean we should be inimical to that. But you know, the followers of these great souls, all the troubles come from them. Sri Ramakrishna illustrated it with beautiful analogy. Shiva was Rama's guru, and Rama was Shiva's guru. What is a guru after all? When we learn from each other, that is called guru. If I learn from you, you are my guru. If you learn from me, then I am your guru. And continuously we are going on learning from each other. Whole life is nothing but learning, which is called updating. So now they were sitting there very closely, but a kind of embarrassment was there. Sri Ramakrishna noticed it. He wanted, let each one of you have your own opinions. Opinion is not important. Whether your opinion is helping you to move forward in life, in whichever direction, secular direction or spiritual direction, it doesn't really matter. One can only do whatever amount of intelligence the Divine Mother has given. Yadevi sarvabhuteshu buddhirupena samsthita namastasyai 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 namo namaha. So Sri Ramakrishna wanted to reconcile them, and we have studied that one in our last class, and he gave the wonderful analogy. Shiva and Rama, there was some difference of opinion, and they started fighting. Really speaking, these are Puranic stories. Shiva is Rama, Rama is Shiva. Who is going to fight with whom? But their followers, their quarrels do not come to an end. Why? Because, not only because they, actually we think that they are fans of their gurus, but the fan of a real guru doesn't want to have anything to do with these kind of quarrels. Can I progress taking my guru's life and instructions as an inspiration to my life? That would be their outlook. But if sometimes there is some kind of misunderstanding or whatever occasion for a very temporary period, it is a very temporary phenomena. Very soon their own Shraddha will overcome that one, because what is spiritual life? To look upon everybody as God. But these people, the followers, they have absolutely no intention of ceasing their quarrels. Why? Because they are not interested in spirituality. They are interested in bloating their egotism by associating their names with their respective gurus. So, that is what Sri Ramakrishna had advised them. How much their advice, Sri Ramakrishna's advice, had been taken in by both Keshav and Vijay, we do not know. But if one is sincere, this is a lesson for all of us, because I have seen many followers of Sri Ramakrishna, my guru is greater than your guru, criticizing one's guru by other people. So I criticize your guru. What is the purpose? I have nothing to do with your guru. But just to feel my guru is above all these things. So he must be a greater person. At least, has it something to do with the guru? No. If my guru is great, I must be great because he had initiated me. That means he knows my worth more than even I know myself. Anyway, all of us, if we are sincere, we have to be extremely careful that we do not criticize anybody. Even if it is a bad guru, we should not criticize. Why? Because a bad guru is very necessary. For whom? For a bad follower. Because only sometimes punishment, sometimes depriving them of their possessions, that will bring them to the right path, as it were, to their senses. So this is what Ramakrishna is thinking. O Keshav, you have a religious society, and so Vijay thinks he must have one too. Everybody loves. But I think all these are necessary. While Sri Krishna himself, God incarnate, played with the gopis at Vrindavan, and then Sri Ramakrishna, not only he was a great spiritual teacher, he was also a Rishika, an extraordinarily tasteful enjoyer of things. And one of the means of such thing is to enjoy literature, music, poetry, sculpture, any sort of thing, what is called aesthetic enjoyment. Spiritual people and aesthetic enjoyment do not go, what I call, they are not opposites, they always go together. There is no such thing as to say, I am a spiritual person, but I don't like all these arts, etc. Progress towards God includes progress in all the five spheres. On the Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, then Dharmananda, Brahmananda. Because as we move towards God, God alone is manifesting in all these five forms. And each one is higher than the lower one. So if we are moving towards God, we cannot but develop. We have seen in the lives of many great writers, great scientists, etc., they lacked, total lack of interest in music, etc. Some of them liked poetry but not music. Some of them music but not poetry. So that Navarasa, we call it, the Kalananda, aesthetic enjoyment has been divided into 9 parts. And there are wonderful textbooks which in detail explain how this can be implemented. It is a marvelous study by itself. And Sri Ramakrishna was a Rasika in every way. Just as an example, he was lying seriously ill at Kasipur, and then one day the direct disciples were themselves preparing some curry. Sri Ramakrishna came to know about it and said, you should add spices in such a manner that the smell from the kitchen should reach my nostrils, because it is the spices that is the very rasa of eating. The normal things also have rasa. You must know, I think you know it, that normal food have food value, protein, carbohydrates, etc. But the taste comes from adding certain things. For example, add even a bit of salt to some things which are a little bit sour, etc. You will see how much it enhances the enjoyment. So most of us are slaves only to this rasasvadana. The real food may be rotten food, what they call junk food. But anyway, I don't want to delineate on that too much. What is important is Ramakrishna was an embodiment of rasa. And then one day Ramakrishna asked one of his devotees, "Whom do you love?" And that fellow, he might have thought, or maybe he is telling the truth, "No, I do not love anybody." Ramakrishna got annoyed and said, "Nothing is going to happen to this rascal. No improvement is going to take place. Because the more we love even worldly things, the more chance is there of progressing in spiritual life. How come? Because the same love which is developed, expanded to a great extent, when the occasion comes, first of all, that capacity to love enormously becomes our property. Second, when due to experiences, our love for the object gets broken, then that very love can be now turned towards God. If my love towards the world, means my body, my mind, my possessions, is only 1%, my love to God also will be only 1%. Remember this. That is why great kings, great bhogis, enjoyers, heroes, only they could become great saints. An ordinary person, so he is dull, he is tamasic. That is also another angle we have to take. Tamasic person, everything is suppressed, remains non-manifest, only potential form. But as Rajoguna comes out, it bursts out slowly into activity. But when the Sattvaguna starts slowly improving, and all this becomes very, very refined, that refined enjoyment is what we call rasasvadana. Then our even selfishness becomes less, unselfishness becomes more, because we understand sattva guna means our jnana. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. From sattva guna, more and more right knowledge arises. Rajoguna is mixed knowledge. Tamoguna is opposite knowledge. So, this progress in spiritual life can be compared gradually progressing from a lower guna to a higher guna. And when a person is full of sattva guna, his mind becomes extraordinarily happy. That's why food doesn't mean, as I mentioned earlier, only full of spices. But even in their very natural state, every food material has its own, endowed with its own special taste, because the gandha, smell, that is the quality of the earth, prithvi devata, gandha, and it is the gandha which attracts us. Durgandha repels us. This is marvelous truth. Most of you must be knowing that one. I am just telling it. So Sri Ramakrishna is analyzing, if there is a drama, now you can say cinema, movie, whatever it is, there must be contrast. Not only there must be comedy, but tragedy. And so Sri Ramakrishna, in his own inimitable way, is telling that when Krishna himself is God incarnate, he played with the gopis at Vrindavan. But troublemakers like Jatila and Kutila appeared on the scene. You may ask why. The answer is, a play does not develop without troublemakers. As Sri Ramakrishna often used to compare the people like Pratap Chandra Hajra to the Jatila and Kutila. If Sri Ramakrishna wanted, he could have gotten rid of this Pratap Chandra Hajra long, long back. But he wanted him to keep by his side. But that is also part of his leela. So in Sri Ramakrishna's life, we see Rashik played a great deal. Another gardener. So many people have played wonderful roles. Kalipad Ghosh, a drunkard. Girish Chandra Ghosh. And on the logical side, Narendranath. On the emotional side, so many devotees, they were just delighted. Even there was a mad woman also who loved him, and Sri Ramakrishna did not reject her. It is the disciples' wrong understanding That made her suffer a little bit, but she doesn't mind. And then Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful advice to Keshav. You don't look into people's natures before you make them your disciples. So they break away from you. What is the best way? From the moment you decide or you become a guru, decide. It is God who is the guru. So some people may stick with me. Some people may not stick with me. So both are absolutely acceptable. And let them be there as long as they want. Otherwise, let them go away. It makes no difference. In fact, whether you need not be a guru, even as a family member, do you think every minute everybody is loving you? There cannot be a worse wrong notion than that. In this world, who loves whom? Nobody loves anybody. Everyone loves only Atmanastu Kamaya. Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. It's only for that which contributes for our own selfish enjoyment. Anything that contributes towards that becomes dear, not anything else. So everybody, even though Sri Ramakrishna advised like this to Keshav, how many people have that insight? Even Swami Vivekananda did not have. Who suffered from the disciples' misdeeds more than Swami Vivekananda? His closest disciples, Swami Kripananda in America, Miss Muller in England, Study in England, and so many other people have discarded Swami Vivekananda. You will see so many people associated, and Swamiji first landed there, and how many have accepted Swami Vivekananda, and how long they have accepted. This is a very fascinating study if you want to go inside this. So, people are different. Naturally, their activities also will be different. Their understanding will be different. Their reaction will be different. And if we can keep that in mind, then when people come, welcome. If they go away, more than welcome. There is a beautiful saying in Hindi, Lakh lakh guru mile, chela na mile ek. You can get gurus by trove, but how many genuine disciples can you get? It is extremely difficult to teach others. A man can teach only if God reveals himself to him and gives the command. Narada, Shukadeva, sages like them had such a command from God. And Shankaracharya had it too. Unless you have a command from God, who will listen to your words? Now we have to pause a little and ask, did Keshav Chandra Sen have a command from God? How do we know whether he had a power from God? But whether he has command from God, you teach others. That's a different issue. We have to separate these two issues. There are some very talented people. Millions of followers are there. But they become admirers. But the moment they get someone else, they run away there. That is not so, not important. What's important, are there people who really have Shraddha in what you are teaching and trying to follow according to their best capacity? That is important. If anybody can bring transformation in the other person, that guru, that teacher is definitely not only blessed but authorized by God, because transformation can come only from God, from nobody else. But the rest, one or two days, they remain disciples. And Keshav Chandra Sen had experienced this many a time. Sri Ramakrishna, he used to advise him. Sometimes Keshav Chandra Sen comes to Sri Ramakrishna and then confesses, such and such people, not only they left me, but they left me abusing me. Sri Ramakrishna used to repeat this fact that let them go away. What is the remedy? Remedy is don't make an appointment with anybody. Then you will not have any disappointment. This is a beautiful saying from Swami Chinmayanandaji Maharaj. So unless you have a command from God, who will listen to your word? Listen means what? Not listening. Who will be transforming their life, following your teachings. You yourself are not doing it. Because once Ramakrishna commented upon, Keshav had a deep desire for name and fame. And any person who has that deep desire cannot be a great spiritual person also. But on the contrary, once Sri Ramakrishna prayed to the Divine Mother, O Mother, please endow Vijay Krishna, Kedarnath, etc. with a little bit of thy power. Let them teach others. And then all the preliminaries. I do not need to be a nursery school teacher. But when they come to the PhD level, then I am always ready to do my best. So he prayed to M, etc. And he kept Nagamahashaya as one of the most brilliantly shining spiritual son, as not only he was an ideal for householders, he was more than ideal even for sannyasins. Ramakrishna is remarking, which is very appropriate even to today's situation. The people of Calcutta love sensations. What does it mean? Ramakrishna explains, you may see them digging a well at a certain place. They say they want water. And if they strike a stone, immediately they give up that place. They begin digging at another place. And there, perchance, they find sand. They give up the second place too. Next, they begin at a third. And so it goes. But it won't do if a man only imagines that he has God's command. God does not reveal himself to man and speak. Only then God reveals himself, no doubt about it. And then one may receive his command. How forceful are the words of such a teacher. They can move mountains. Just observe Jesus Christ saying, if you have the amount of a mustard's faith in what I say, in God, then you can move, you say to point out to a mountain, say you move from here to that place. Immediately it moves, because it is not moving by my power. It is God's power. And I have complete faith in God's power. But mere lectures, people will listen to them for a few days and then forget them. They will never act upon mere words. Ramakrishna, master of analogy, immediately he gives an illustration. So at Kamarpur, there is a small lake called Haldarpur, and some people used to befoul its banks every day. And when others came later on in the morning to bathe and see what they have done, they abused the offenders loudly, but that did not stop. Next morning, they would find the same thing. Then the villagers finally informed the authorities. A constable was sent, who put up a notice on the bank which read, commit no nuisance. They stopped the miscreants at once, because the constable had the authority. He can punish, and nobody wants to be punished. To teach others, one must have a badge of authority. Otherwise, teaching becomes a mockery. A man who is himself ignorant starts out to teach others, like the blind leading the blind. Instead of doing good, such teaching does harm. After the realization of God, one obtains an inner vision. Only then can one diagnose a person's spiritual malady and give instruction. Without a commission from God, man becomes vain. He says to himself, I am teaching people. And then the moment a person thinks, I am the teacher, and then I have some students, some disciples. And then when those disciples stop admiring, move away, or even abuse the teacher, and the payment, earlier he got some amount of pleasure in thinking, I am somebody. And now he thinks even more, I am more than somebody, because I am deeply offended. So this vanity, I am somebody, comes from ignorance. A man verily becomes liberated in life if he feels God alone is the doer. He alone is doing everything. I am doing nothing. And this essence of this, as we know, immediately when we hear this kind of words, we should be able to connect it with something we already know and we sing. What is that song? Shakali Tomari Icha Tomar Karma Tumi Koroma Loke Bole Ami Kori. People think I am doing. But the moment that person is bestowed, God's grace comes into him, Buddhi Yogam Teshamaham Buddhi Yogam Tadamyaham. I bestow upon such people Buddhi. Buddhi means right understanding. Even now Buddhi is there, but it is more akin to Buddhu than Buddhi. He alone is doing everything. I am doing nothing. And Sri Ramakrishna's illustration. There was a weaver and he used to say, Ramericha. And I mentioned this parable many times. And these parables require tremendous amount of meditation, contemplation to derive their meaning. So, what should we do? So, at the end, as you can recollect, the magistrate found out this honesty of this person who has spoken out frankly, and then he believed in this man. He said, I am setting you free. And this man came out saying, by Rama's will, I am set free. But if you think a little bit further, if magistrate happens to say, law is law, you are caught red-handed, so I am putting you in jail for 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, or Sirachheda in earlier days, or in some parts of the followers of Islam, we will cut off the hands, or you will be beaten if you are caught like that. What would this weaver would have said? Rame Richa. And when a person says Rame Richa, would it be a grumbling statement, helpless statement, what can I do, God's will? No. A joyous statement, God has something greater to give to me. So, wherever my mother keeps me, that would be the best place for me, as the Ramakrishna gives the example of the kitten. Ramakrishna continues, man's sufferings and worries spring only from his persistent thought that he is the doer. In fact, the whole yoga marga is to get rid of the idea that I am the doer. And when we get rid of that idea, that one single idea, I am the doer, the desirer, the enjoyer, everything follows. Doer doesn't come alone. I want to do this. And I know what to do, what not to do. Then, lot of action brings reaction, reaction brings action. So, endless net of Mahamaya is woven around all such egos. Until, as Sri Ramakrishna so beautifully illustrates, that when the carder takes out the entrails and goes on carding, until then, as in Holy Mother's words, hum hai, I am, I am. Then it becomes tu hai, tui, tui. That sound also is very peculiar. Sri Ramakrishna takes advantage to give this analogy. Humba, no, tui, tui, tui. You, you are, your will. And then it becomes free. So, man's sufferings come only from that. I am the doer. So I am responsible, so I am irresponsible, I am free, I am bound, I am great, I am worse, everything springs from that. You people, directly addressing, because Ramakrishna understood that really these people, they have the tremendous egotism. We are better than most people. We belong to the Brahmo Samaj. We are doing lot of good to society. And we are followers of the great Guru, Keshav Chandra Sen, etc., etc. You people speak of doing good to the world. Is the world such a small thing? And who are you, pray, to do good to the world? And then somewhere else he says that, is this world so small that any Tom, Dick and Harry can do good. It is so vast. What good can you do? Rather, you will do more harm than good. Then, what is the way out? First, realize God. See Him by means of spiritual discipline. If He imparts power, then you can do good to others, otherwise not. So, after God realization, you do not exist. But if God wants to occupy your body, mind, later on, such people are called Jivan Muktas, and you don't exist. You don't say, I want to do good. It is God who decides. I gave the example many times. When a river merges in the ocean, and its name, its form, everything totally disappears. It assumes the form of the sea water. And if that sea water again flows back through that very same river, it is not that river any longer, it is the sea only. Like that, a Jivan Mukta is none other than Brahman, specially manifest in that purified individual's body and mind. And there must be a purpose for setting an example to the whole world. But that's not for any of the Jiva to do it. Only God can do it. That is why Sri Ramakrishna's mantra is Naham Naham Tuhu Tuhu. It is a great mantra. Not only Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishnaya. No. Naham Naham Tuhu Tuhu. You focus upon it and you go on repeating it. You will see it may take time. But if you sincerely do that, then gradually, little bit by little bit, change will take place in your life, in my life, in everybody's life. Now, a Brahmo devotee is putting question like our question-answer session. Then, sir, we must give up our activities until we realize God. This devotee has not understood anything because Bhagavan Krishna, when he was teaching Arjuna, Arjuna might have had the same type of doubts. Then he said, Nahi kaschat kshanam api jatu tishtati. It is not possible for any human being to keep quiet even for a millisecond. Why? Because it is nature. The mind is restless. Do you think that you are thinking that I want to think about this, I want to think about that, and then your mind is obeying you and you start thinking about those things? Like a helpless straw being swiftly carried away in a current of water, our activities, our thinking, everything is controlled by the mind. We are the slaves of the mind, our thoughts, and it is extremely restless and it is very much varied. We don't know why suddenly a thought comes from somewhere. And by that time, and maybe you are doing japa, by that time you become aware of it, the japa time is over. But some remembrance of somebody insulting you, somebody doing good to you, or a pleasurable moment, or very suffering moment, everything, these we keep in our mind. Why? Because whatever affects us deeply, that remains longer in the memory. So, Brahmo devotee is asking that can we stop? He did not stop to think whether we can really stop the activities. So first we will realize God. How will you realize God? Simply you think, I will realize God, and God comes running, oh, you want to realize me? We have to go through so much of rigmarole. So there is a beautiful story. So once there was a person, and he wanted to know whether what can God's grace do. He went to Narada and he asked Narada. Narada said, from my own experience, I will tell you what happens. Now this Narada, he was a vastly learned person, as we have seen in the Chandogya Upanishad, especially in the 7th chapter. He was the walking encyclopedia of Vedic knowledge. We have to remember the same Narada. So Narada said that I heard that the glory of Shivanama, Shiva, is so great, and even if once it is uttered, of course with faith, immediate instantaneous result will come. So he said, is it true? Let me test it. So he was searching for some subject to make his experiments. He saw a small insect and he went and uttered the name of Shiva, Shiva mantra, as if he initiated. And that insect happily was crawling, and suddenly it fell back upon its back, dead, with its all legs in the air. Narada became shocked. I thought it will get very happy life, and this is what I find. So he ran to Shiva and said, so is it true that your name has such a great power? He said, of course, yes, Shiva said, yes, I know it. But what is this, Lord? I went and uttered your name in front of an insect. Shiva said laughingly, you go and experiment further. So this time, Narada saw a small animal, and he went and uttered the name of Shiva. And that poor animal immediately fell down dead with its legs up in the air. And Narada was even more confused. But Shiva's words cannot go wrong. Shiva was by his side and he was smiling. So he chose a buffalo. The moment Narada uttered Shiva's name, that also was dead. Then an elephant, then a human being fell down dead. Then there was a Brahmana passing by. Hey, come here. And he uttered Shiva's name. And in a twinkling of an eye, he fell down dead. Narada was thoroughly confused. He thought something wonderful will happen. Then he asked, Lord, I am really totally lost. What is the explanation? Shiva said, he gave him a third eye to Narada. Third eye means eye of knowledge, jnana chakshu. And Narada immediately understood. What did he understand? That insect which fell down dead upon hearing the name of Shiva, he became a bigger animal. Reborn instantaneously. It was reborn as a bigger animal. And the moment it heard Shiva's name, it gave up its ghost, became a buffalo, and it gave up its buffaloes, this one, and became an elephant, and it died as an elephant, and instantaneously reborn as a human being, and he died instantaneously, and then was reborn as a Brahmana. And now, as soon as he heard, instantaneously, he gave up his body and became completely liberated. What we perceive as death is a great spiritual progress because of the glory of Shiva's name. That is why so many people come here in trillions, I would say. Nowadays, how many people are coming to Varanasi especially, every Shiva Kshetra, so that they can become blessed. Every temple in India is thriving nowadays. That is a marvelous phenomenon. Why? People are very, very religious people, I have to say. So the name of glory of power of God's name is indescribable. Whether we utter it consciously or unconsciously, it will have its power. At least when we are uttering the thought of God's name, is it preventing some lower thought or not? The more we remember God's name, the negative effect is, it is not allowing any inferior thought to enter, harmful thought. But gradually, it purifies our mind. Chitta Shuddhi takes place. So God's name is really great. But the point here, Sri Ramakrishna wants to tell is, that God realization can come only through activity. Only unconscious thoughts must be made conscious. That is why the very first progress in spiritual life, according to Patanjali Rishi, is pratyak pravanata. The moment a thought wants to sprout in our mind, we become instantaneously aware, oh, such a thought is it good? If it is good, encourage it, elevate it to grow stronger. But if it is unspiritual, it is easy to get rid of it at that stage. It's like a small seedling, very easy to pull it out along with roots and others. Once it becomes like a huge banyan tree, it becomes very, very difficult. That is why in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord compares the entire samsara to a huge tree whose roots are in God and which is spreading towards the world. Urthvamoolam adhashakam ashvattham prahuravyayam. So Sri Ramakrishna is replying, first of all, you cannot stop activities. Secondly, you should not stop activities. Thirdly, you should convert all those activities into spiritual activities. This is what he is trying to tell. No, why should you? You must engage in such activities as contemplation, singing his praises, and other daily devotions. Now, hearing this one, a Brahma devotee got a doubt. But what about our worldly duties, sir? Duties associated with our earning money and so on. So this is where many people get confused. So that is why Sri Ramakrishna's advice, fifth commandment to M, live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. What is the maid servant supposed to do? She does everything from scrubbing the floor utensils to cleaning the beds, cooking everything. And she even says about the children of the master, my Rama, my Hari, and so on. But with every activity she knows, I am only a maid servant and I have my own home. So she knows, she is aware. She will never even entertain, I am the mistress of this house, I can do whatever I like. I am a servant, I can be kicked out any time. She knows it too well. What do we do? This house is mine and I am the master of this house. And this beautiful idea, Ramakrishna, the master of creating beautiful stories, some stories he created, some stories he heard from others. So one of the stories, if you remember, there was a Brahmin who was cultivating a wonderful, beautiful garden, bringing from different places very valuable plants. Everybody was admiring and he himself was very proud. So one day a cow entered and it started destroying the precious plants, and the Brahmin's ego got so much hurt. Immediately he started belaboring the cow, and because of that it fell down dead. And in Indian thought stream, killing a cow, killing a Brahmana, killing a woman, killing a pregnant woman, and killing babies, these are called greatest heinous sins. But he also studied a little bit of Vedanta, said the presiding deity of the hand which killed this cow. Who killed the cow? Not I. My hand killed the cow. And who is the in charge of the hand? Indra. So let the sin go to Indra. We know the story. I don't need to repeat it. So Indra came and asked, who created this marvelous garden? I did. But when Indra slowly read this foolish Brahmana where the cow was still lying dead, and who killed this cow? Now all this time he was telling, I did this. But now he can't say, I did not do this. And the sin came and occupied the Brahmana. So it is not the action that really affects us. It is the attitude with which outlook we perform. That's why Krishna said that you kill mayai vaite nihataha purvameva. Don't think that you are going to kill. You are not master of birth or death. I am the master of birth and death. I made them to be born and I have already killed them. But they are still alive. No. I killed them in the form of time. So past is also part of time. Future is also part of time. So Even if they are here now, I have already killed them. I decided in this war who is going to be killed and who is going to be alive. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You just develop that attitude of instrumentality. Ami jantro, tumi jantri. Ami roth, tumi rothi. Ami ghor, tumi ghorani. Jaman chalao, timni chali. That is the karma yoga. So Sri Ramakrishna says, yes, you can perform them too, but first of all, he is telling, as much as you need for your livelihood. So here also doubt can come. So how do we know inflation is not going up? So after next year or next month, if the tariffs are going up, then the prices also will go up. Then how can I live? You're asking me to do dana, charity. What is the answer? The answer is, it is not how much you accumulate or how much you lose. How much you deserve to have because of your past punya karma, papa karma. This is called karma siddhanta. Even if you are the richest person on earth, still you have to eat, you have to sleep. How much can you eat? Only as much as your stomach can digest. How much time can you sleep? Even if you have got the poshest bed, even then, if your mind is worried, you cannot sleep. According to your punya karma only, you can do that. So, therefore, you do as much as you need for your livelihood. Don't worry about the future. For one thing, you may die next second. Where is your future then? Or anybody whom you consider my family members, they may also die. Every day they are doing. So Sri Ramakrishna continues, at the same time, you must pray to God in solitude with your tears in your eyes that you may be able to perform those duties in an unselfish manner. Sri Ramakrishna is telling beautifully that if you want to have this attitude, let me perform them in an detached spirit. Before that, prior to that, you have to go as many times as necessary into solitude and pray to God, O Lord, bestow upon me your grace in the form of right understanding that you make me do. That is the only way. So you should say to him, O God, make my worldly duties fewer and fewer. Otherwise, O Lord, I find that I forget thee when I am involved in too many activities. I may think I am doing unselfish work, but it turns out to be selfish. Ramakrishna's profound statement, I may think I am doing unselfish, but it may turn out to be selfish. In fact, it does. People who carry to excess the giving of alms or the distributing of food among poor fall victims to the desire of acquiring name and fame. This is the one dominating desire. I want peace prize, even though I am falling into pieces. Shambhu Malik once talked about establishing hospitals, dispensaries and schools, making roads, digging public reservoirs and so forth. I said to him, don't go out of your way to look for such works. Undertake only those works that present themselves to you and are a pressing necessity, and those also in a spirit of detachment. It's not good to become involved in many activities that makes one forget God. Beautiful teachings which we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananeem Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.